Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Another race hour has been completed. Mike Rockenfeller has taken over the Ally Cadillac after that scheduled stop from Kamui Kobayashi. What a great battle that was with Earl Bamber. We'll try and get a word with him in a moment. Highlands Best Country WWE 99.1 FM, News Talk 7:30 and 95.3 FM, as well as round the world on imsaradio.com. With the World Feed TV on there as well. Click the live video tab if you're in a country that doesn't have a network TV deal. And of course an RS2 IMSA Radio as well as SiriusXM 206. We're into the last 3 hours of racing and the last quarter of the 2022 Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring. Presented by Advance Auto Parts starts right now. Well, Jeremy, if we're going to get that towards the end of the race, that kind of excitement, that was proper stuff, carving their way through the traffic. Two sports car superstars absolutely on their game there.
Yeah, it really was, and a good sit by both of those two. Bamber was really charging, but Kobayashi done a really nice job, particularly given the fact that today is the first time he's driven that car this week. Pretty remarkable effort by him, but it's only 20 laps on that pit stop, so I would expect him to go one, probably two laps more before he came in, particularly as he was holding the lead.
The dust or whatever coming out from that 48, a couple of people, Alan Prosser, thank you, Racing Blog, also tweeting in, saying it's been kicking out what looks to be brake dust all over. I think it's brake dust, says the Racing Blog, because see how difficult it is to see the number panel on the side compared to the other Cadillacs. Are they using their brakes more on that number 48? Hello to Wicker Bill in northwest England, Manchester, taking advantage of the only day of sunny scene this year, apparently, in Manchester. It is Rainy City, of course, Rainy City Cruisers. Used to go down and see them for custom cars back in the day. He's been out on a barbecue today, now settling in at just after 11 o'clock in the UK. Just after midnight and into Sunday morning in Europe for the last 3 hours of this race. Wise move, Wicker Bill. Make sure you've got the sound system turned up and you've got the... Managed to commandeer a screen from your laptop. Get the HDMI cable in on the world feed. Ranch 74 car, the Riley LMP, back from behind the wall. That car was in contention, no doubt, for the lead and the win. It's dropped way back now. Matthew Jakobsen and Dakota Dickerson battling it out, but there's 50 seconds between the 33 and the 30. Third place, Rasmus Lynch for Performance Tech Motorsport. They've not had an easy run either in that number 38 car. They had a nasty little electrical gremlin that was haunting them earlier on. At IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch. Welcome back to the pit lane to Shea Adam for the run to the checkered flag. Talk to her in a moment.
Just looking at GTD, John, it's still Bill Obel in the leads for Turner Motorsport in the BMW car number 96. Second place, just a second behind him, is Maxi Goetz in the number 28 car for Allegra Motorsports. That's the Mercedes. Then two Ferraris in third and fourth. And look who is looming there in third position, Antonio Fuoco. And if Bill Obel looks in his mirror, he will see Fuoco. He's had that situation a little bit earlier in this race when he got punted from behind in turn three. Fuoco had to serve a drive-through penalty. He served that penalty and he's closed right up again, John. That settle-up Ferrari is really fast.
Bill Oberlin.
There is Oberlin. Behind him is Goetz, and right behind Goetz now is, or maybe there's another car in there. Yes, it's a Ricci
Ferrari. It's a Ricci Ferrari still then, trying to get another lap back.
Yes, but then it's Fuoco in the car that hit Oberlin earlier on, served the penalty. He's made up all of that penalty time. That's remarkable.
The United Colours of Chetelaar car, as we've been calling it.
That car has set the fastest lap of the race in GTD with Fuoco at the wheel, way early in the race.
Loic Duval's taken over the JDC Miller Motorsports. Mike Rockefeller, sorry, he's taken over the Ally Cadillac from Kamui Kobayashi. Saying earlier on, of course, that the Toyota drivers who are racing here today, and all of the Toyota number 7 drivers are in Cadillacs. Kamui Kobayashi in Hobe, Jose Maria Lopez in the 48 Ally car, and the 31 Whelan Mike Conway. They were forbidden by management to even get in those cars until after the WEC yesterday. And the team manager who made that rule was Kamui Kobayashi. So he had to live with the rule that he'd made for his teammates. Wearing many hats at the moment, Kamui. Still a great character and a very, very capable driver. Earl Barber leads now by 27 seconds. We'll see him in the pit lane in around about 7 laps time. Let's hear from Toyota Gazoo Racing's team manager, but in this case it is of course racing driver for the number 48 Ally Cadillac. This is Kamui Kobayashi with Joe.
Kamui, well, I certainly enjoyed that, watching you race there. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think at some point before I jump in, I think strategy went long side, and obviously we just did some jumble, so we stopped the area. We put new tires, sticky tires with a clear track, and then try to get in the gap. And I think pretty much it worked, so that's why we came back. Otherwise, I think we just staying behind. It's so hard to overtake here.
Is it true that the first time you sat in the car was during the race this morning?
Yeah, just a four-up in the morning. Yeah.
So you did a bit of morning warm-up and that was it. Next time you're in for the stint. Yeah. How do you switch that on? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I drove last year, so, you know, I know a bit car, but, you know, we get paid for this, so we should adjust this. If you have a couple of laps, you know how it is in the car. So, obviously, when you start race, you don't push, you just use your build yourself. And then, you know, second stint, probably you are already ready to push, really.
And I'm told, as the Toyota, with your team manager's hat on, you were behind the rule to stop the WEC drivers practicing in the IMSA cars before the WEC, because you don't want anybody to be hurt or injured or be unfit for the race.
Sorry, no, I didn't hear you.
Is that right? As a team manager, you chose the rule to stop WEC drivers driving IMSA cars before the event. Is that not true?
No, obviously not. We have a contract. If we have a competitor with the same category as a manufacturer, by contract we can. So obviously before I became PHM principal, already we signed a contract. And that's anyway, we have to make rules. Otherwise we can go anywhere free. So that's why, you know, we stick the rules. And obviously, I'm team principal. I have to follow those.
Of course, that's what I meant. Thanks, Kamui. Great entertainment.
Just a quick update on the Core Autosport LMP3 car. It was a bad switchboard, so they changed that out. That was actually hitting the kill switch and triggering the car to stop at random points around the track. That rumbling you might have heard behind me was another LMP3 car. That's the Riley machine that is going back out on the circuit.
So 2 hours and 53 minutes to go.
And I think another 5 or 6 laps before pit stops for the GTD contenders. Bill Oberlin's hanging on to that lead, but just a second behind him is Maxi Goetz. A second behind him is Antonio Fuoco. Only 5 seconds behind Fuoco is Simon Mann, who's doing a really nice job in the AF Corsa Ferrari car number 21. Those two cars run by the same team, AF Corsa, but 47 run under the Cetelar Racing banner. And then behind them, the Lexus of Richard Highestand, who's only, again, about 6 seconds back. That's car number 12. And then Stephen McAleer in the Gilbert Courthoff number 32 Mercedes. Again, all very much in contention.
real shame for fans of Riley Technologies. That car is actually going back behind the wall. I spoke with Bill Riley really quickly, who said the damage they sustained pushed all the water out of it, and it's not something that you can easily fix. They thought they had a temporary solution. They don't.
So, Shea, do we think that car is finished then?
Yeah, I'd be surprised to see it again.
Okay. Thank you, Shea. Bad news with less than a quarter of the race to go for a car that was in real contention, not just for a podium, but for the win there, that number 74 car, the blue and bright orange machine.
Yeah, and yeah, this is one of the few races the car didn't. I think it won five of the seven races that were part of the LMP3 schedule. Had a dominant win at Daytona to start this campaign off, but that was not a round of the regular season championship for LMP3. This is the opening round of that, and right now it is the car number 33 for Sean Creech Motorsports that leads the way. In second position, Dakota Dickerson for Junior 3 Racing. That is a car that is not concentrating on the Michelin Endurance Cup. This is that team's first race of the season in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. But Dakota Dickerson is driving that car at the moment. He's about 50 seconds behind Malte Jakobsen, and those two now are well clear of everybody else. We saw the number 38 car for Performance Tech Motorsports had some difficulties a while ago, but is still running strongly now and back in third place in the class, but seven laps off the lead. In LMP2, Mikkel Jensen leads the way. He had a lead of about 68 seconds over the number 29 car. Guido van der Garde now brings that racing team Netherland onto pit lane for a scheduled stop. And I would anticipate the number 52 car that leads with Mikkel Jensen aboard into the pits in a couple of laps time. 260 laps now completed by our race leader. Super consistency for the last three laps there for Earl Bamber. This last lap was a 49.34, 1 minute 49.32 the previous lap, 149.20 the lap before that, 148.34, 148.59 before that. That is remarkable consistency from Earl Bamber in the lead car with the traffic. I mean, yeah, there's a few cars out of the race, but we've still got the better part of, 40, I think there's 49 cars, maybe there's well over 40 cars at least still on the track right now, 42 or 3 cars still running, so there's still plenty of traffic, but Earl Bamber is doing an absolutely masterful job in the lead for that Ganassi team, the Cadillac accessories car number 02. The lead over second position right now, which is number 5 of Loic Duval, 27.1 seconds. That gap has gone out over the course of the last few laps, but again, not by very much, only by 3 or 4 seconds. The back gap to third place again is staying fairly consistent. Stoffel Vandoorne taking another stint at the Meyer Shank, racing with the Kerberger Janey in Acura and running very nicely in the third position. That Acura, though, is even though it's running well and maintaining pace with the other two leaders, he's the better part of 40 seconds back, and Pipo Durrani is making a little bit of progress toward catching him. He's now less than 3 seconds behind the number 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac in fourth place. Mike Rockefeller is in fifth in car number 48 and is about 11 seconds ahead of Philip Albuquerque.
I think this one, this is boiling up to another grandstand finish, isn't it, Jeremy? And times are still coming down as well. Bamber now 30 seconds to the good at the front of the field. The other class leaders, Mikkel Jensen for PR1 Matheson Motorsport in P2, Malte Jakobsen for the Sean Creech Motorsport car, Jordan Taylor for Corvette Racing in Pro, and Bill Oberlin in AM. It's your VP Racing Fuel class leaders there making power. Beautiful time of the evening. Smell of the barbecues beginning to just drift over the racetrack. Around about sunset now. Actually, about another 10 minutes for official sunset. Yeah. Not much more than that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful evening, isn't it? It's picture perfect out there. Yeah.
Jamie Price and the rest of the four talks We'll be out getting the fantastic pictures. Duke Gibson's here, I know, as well, from the UK. Chat with him earlier on of the prologue weekend, in fact. Hello to Malcolm Cracknell as well, the founder of dailysportscar.com. I know he's tuned in back in the UK. And to Bob Leitinger, I saw last weekend as well, who's at turn number one here with his motorhome. Joe Bradley, a doughty competitor in his day.
He's had a bit of an accident, John, so he's confined to barracks at the moment. He's twisted his knee.
Oh, nasty.
And the story is there was no alcohol involved, so it seems a bit of a waste, he says.
Can't believe that. So he's here on the premises, but in the RV.
Yes, he's having to stay in his RV. He's twisted his knee or knacked his knee or something. And the big story is that there wasn't alcohol involved.
Mend fast, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. Say hello to Bruce for us.
That's going to help fix it.
Liquid analgesic, hey, I think, for that one.
A new best lap of the race there for Urbano. I just talked about his remarkable consistency. He's just turned his best lap of the race, 147.285 for that number 02 Cadillac that leads the race. Here's a pit stop for the LMP2 leader, number 52.
It's Mikkel Jensen that brought that car in. Shea is watching that. What's going on with the guys on the wall, Shea?
They've done the driver change already. Mikkel Jensen is out, and I'm going to try and grab a word with him when he gets his helmet off. And we have Scott Huffaker into the car. That was a lot of Michelin tire smoke. It is a nice experience. Joe was right about that.
Wynn's car then coming down the pit lane. Quick hello as well to Racer Magazine's Paul Fanner. And Mo Murray from Mazda Racing. They're travelling together and listening in the same car at the moment. Not sure if you're on Sirius XM 206 or you've got something linked to the car. Travel well, gentlemen. Shame you're not here to say hello, but we pass on our best. Racer Magazine doing some of its best work recently, both in the printed version, the traditional version if you like, but also racer.com. If you're not checking out racer.com, you're not getting the full story about motorsport. Back to Shea Adam down in the pit lane.
With Stephen Thomas out of the 11 PR1 Matheson Motorsport LMP2, you're one of the drivers who did double duty between yesterday and today. How relieved are you that your driving duties are done this weekend?
Oh, I'm not relieved at all. I love driving the race car. I wish they'd raise the minimum so I could drive more.
Really? You're not exhausted?
No, I mean, I like driving race cars, so they put me back in now, I get in. The problem is, it's time for the pros to fight each other. But yeah, no, I loved it. I feel good.
You and Ben Keating were having a pretty serious discussion earlier on. Was he helping you?
Yeah, it's great having Ben as a teammate. And between the two of us, you know, we went back and forth on poles last year. This year, he was faster than me here, so I was asking him, how come? And he was helping me out, and I went faster, and then we battled out there on the track for a while. So it was fun.
I love the camaraderie in this team. Stephen, good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks very much.
So next in from the cars at the front, Earl Bamber from the lead. Then maybe a lap or two later, Loic Duval from second place. Bamber burning off the VP Racing fuel. He's had some really quick and consistent laps. That car's best of 47.2. He was a 48.3 last time around. Remember, we're 263 laps into this contest at the moment. And there's still pace out there. Traffic's hardly thinned out. Let's see if he peels in this time around or he... No, he's just gone through. 0-2, just going through turn 5 now, past the palm tree palisades on his right-hand side. Oh, we get... The cars sound different. I don't care what anybody said. It's starting to get... The air's getting cooler and denser. There's just a little harder edge to these cars, and the downshifts sound like staccato rifle fire.
And we're now within the distance of a regular season IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race. Less than 2 hours and 45 minutes remaining in this tremendous race. Pit stops, by the way, just now for the GTD leaders. Number 96 came into the pits. Bill Oberlin to hand over that number 96 BMW for Turner Motorsport to Robbie Foley. Maxi Goetz, who was in second place, also into the pits in the Mercedes car number for Allegro Motorsports, car number 28. Also, that puts into the lead there for Antonio Fuoco in car number 47, the Cetelar Racing Ferrari. Pit stop for the leader also in LMP3.
Shea is watching that one, and Joe Bradley will have Pipo Durrani stop in just a moment. Shea Shonkreach Motorsport.
Fuel tyres and João Barbosa, that's all you need to know.
Joe Bradley.
Durrani's in the 31. That's him in the background. A little bit of wheel spin, not too much tyre smoke, but that job is done for the wheeling car. We're just awaiting the O2, guys. I'll give you a shout when it's on pit road.
That's the Cadillac that leads at the moment. Gone on to its 23rd lap for Earl Bamber. He's on the pit road now. Just time to say hello to Andrew Mather. Just tuning in at the parents' house in Sheffield in the UK. Thanks for your help giving Dad the tuition as to what Sebring's all about. Introduced him to IMSA at Daytona. Now watching this great race for the first time. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Andrew's dad. Joe Bradley with the leader.
Earl Bamber is out of the car. And he's, you know what, he's a fit young man. And he's been working hard, I can tell, just from the body language as he stepped up onto the pit wall and went back behind the wall. The driver is in, new driver. Didn't see who that was, John. I don't know who is next in the rotor. It all happens in a pretty big flash. The driver comes from around the back of the car. The O2's lost the lead, but he's back out.
Alex Lynn, I think, probably got into that car. Joe Bradley.
On the rotation, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell you in just a second.
That was a great stint from Earl Bamber. Really impressive.
Alex Lynn confirmed. Okay. Absolutely confirmed as he goes out. And we'll tell you how they stand. He is already heading up towards turns 3, 4 and 5. So it should be the number 5 car that's gone through into the lead. Loic Duval for JDC Miller Motorsports. And Loic is at turn 10. But Loic will owe us a pit stop next time around, I reckon.
Yeah, it was that last stint for the number 02 car was 21 laps. For the number 31 car was only 19 laps. And it was only 20 laps on the previous stint. That's somewhat curious. Keep an eye on that one. Do I lie?
I've got Bamber's as 22.
Yeah, sorry.
And I've got Peepaw's as 20.
Yeah. A lap out.
Philippe Albuquerque 21.
Yeah. It was 22 laps for Bamber.
Fine. Let's wait to see if Loic Duval peels off to the right. He's coming down into the final corner at turn 17 now. Starting to get dark enough that I can see the brake discs glowing. He tucks across to the right hand side and gets in well before the double yellow line on his right hand side. Down to the pit lane speed limiter. And followed in by Dakota Dickerson for Junior 3 Racing, who's the leader in LMP3, of course, having taken that when Shonkreach Motorsport came in. And here comes the leader. Shea Adam down at that end of the pit lane. Oh, sorry, Joe Bradley down at that end of the pit lane. Just waiting for Earl Bamber with Joe Bradley. We'll do that in a moment. There's a new set of Michelin tyres going onto the black and gold machine. Also in the number 60 Auto Nation MSR Acura. That brought into the pit lane by Stoffel Van Dorn. Came in from second. So when the 02 comes around, that will go back into the lead. In fact, it already has done. They're heading down towards turn 7 now. Dakota Dickerson has gone back out in the number 30 car, and the 60 is down and away for Meyer Shank Racing. And I think Stoffel stayed in that car. Yes, confirmed. Simon Mann into the pits from second in GTD for the Ferrari. Shea Adams at that end at the moment.
and tires and a driver change. Simon is out. Tony Vallander is in. And Simon actually nearly walks right into Tony when he jumps out of the car. They are doing fuel and tires for this car as well. And a couple boxes further up, we just had the Gilbert Copthorne Mercedes. That was fuel, tires, and a driver change. Daniel Junkadella taking over for Stephen McAleer. All looks good down at this Ferrari pit so far. Although I have to say the right front lower dive plane is completely deranged. It is actually sticking off at a 90-degree angle to the rest of the car. That's got to be something held down by the wind as it goes by. They're putting a piece of tape on the green light on the passenger side of the car as well that helps them realize that that is their Ferrari. And away goes Tony.
Hello to Keke Murray. Surprised at how big an effect that BOP change had to the Corvette. How much of the improvement do you think is the increase in horsepower and how much is psychological? I think it's drivability, Keke, to be honest. It's a few horsepower, yes, but the torque of that car seemed to be much better. Remember, that was a car, everybody else, that wasn't designed to be a GT Daytona. It was designed to be a GT Le Mans car. So very different rule set. They've kind of had to, in some ways, backwards engineer it, putting on some of the electronic systems that it didn't have, so it's had to have ABS fitted to it. The power has been wound back a wee bit, and the weight's been adjusted as well. And one of the ways they did that was by strangling the engine a little bit. Well, it's not just about how many horsepower on the dyno, it's about where that torque curve is. What we've seen today is that the torque of that V8 C8R mid-engine car now has made it a lot more drivable through traffic, and I think that, to me, maybe the drivers will tell us a little bit more, but that certainly seems to me as though it's been more drivable through the traffic and not so much as a sort of a switch for the throttle. They've been able to pick their way through the traffic, and you still want to keep your momentum up. I was going to say you can forget about, you know, having to lift off. That's not the case, but it does seem to have been a bit more usable, a bit more user friendly on the power delivery. Great battle going on. Outlap for Stoffel Vandoorne. Pete Mutarani's right with him now. This is a battle for fourth and fifth position. Alex Lynn has resumed the lead for Cadillac Racing 02, the Chip Ganassi run car, by 9 seconds over the Ally Cadillac of Mike Rockenfeller. Then it's the dark grey and silver, a great gold rather, JDC Miller Motorsport. Then it is this battle that's going on the far side of the circuit. Confirmation of the Riley number 74 Ranch. We saw a touch between the two cars that were battling for fourth position. Durrani's gone around. I think Stoffel Vandoorne has continued. He's off the track as well. This is a turn 16 going on the back straight. They were battling for position, as I said, and now there's half the straight between them, and there's a vibration on the Acura for Stoffel Vandoorne. Now, will he bring that car into the pit lane? I don't even think his wheel was straight there. People was weaving around, trying to clean the tyres off on the Wheel and Engineering Cadillac. Both off and continued. Well, Pimo's continued, so has Stoffel Vandoorne. We'll go down to the pits in just a moment. But let's just see that those cars are still running. A little bit too much curb by... Well, a little bit too much curb by Stoffel Vandoorne.
What's the point in that?
We've seen the passes made at 16 on other class cars, not on the similar class cars.
That was a very bold move from Pipo Durrani. I mean, yes, he saw glimpse and opportunity, but, I mean, maybe on the last lap, I don't see the point of that one.
Nice bit of avoidance of the Mobile One signs by Stoffel Vandoorne. In the meantime, the 01 Cadillac has gone behind the wall. It's not been their day today. Let's go down to Joe Bradley, who's been waiting patiently after that incident.
Yeah, we Earl was whisked away. He's all of these drivers really suffering. Ben Barnicourt has just come in the 14, for instance, and I've just gone to chat to him, and he's cool suit failed, so he's actually been roasted. So I'm not going to speak to Ben for a little while until he cools down. They're absolutely exhausted when these guys get out these cars.
Speaking to an exhausted guy, having gotten out of a car, Steph Wilson, how hard is everyone pushing out there?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's pushing really hard. And for us, you know, we had an incident in Thursday night practice. So the Hard Point crew just had to work extremely hard to go to the backup car yesterday. The guys crashed all day, and we just got it ready to get back out there. It means that we didn't get to do much setup work, and we missed it. So, you know, the Porsche is already a bit loose. We were hoping it was going to come to us when the colder conditions appeared, but, you know, it's just so free out there. So when the car's a handful and it's already so hot and humid, it's just exhausting. So it's like wrestling a tiger at a cage, and it's trying to take your life.
You just got to make it purr. That's the secret. Just make the kitty purr. Do you think it'll get any better as the conditions get better at night?
You know, I'd like to be hopeful. I just think that, we've missed the setup a decent amount, and it's up to Kat now. She's going to have to adjust her driving style and try and deal with it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's good that we're still in it, and we need to get a lap back and see where we are then.
I'll be optimistic for you. Don't worry. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Shane.
That incident between Stoffel Vandoorne and Pete Mudrani for fourth place, the Mayor Shank Racing. Number 60 and the Whelan Engineering number 31, Acura and Cadillac respectively, under consideration and review by Race Control. And both cars seem to be continuing at reasonable pace. Vandoorne of 150.0, 150.1 for Pete Mudrani. It was very much side-by-side contact. I wonder how that will be viewed. I think if I can see it going, either way or nothing at all. I think if Pipo had been a tad further back, he would have got called for it. But he was very well up alongside.
The door was left open.
Yeah, it was.
But I don't really see the point in going for that gap at this stage in a race with 2.5 hours remaining, quite frankly.
Just, I think the corner before, Jeremy, there was just a little bit too much curb taken by Vandoorne, and that kicked the car sideways, which I think gave the invitation, if you like, with people carrying a little bit more speed. But these are such marginal calls. All the time, we talked about risk versus reward earlier on in the race, and we were talking about that in the Porsche keys to the race as well, weren't we? How you deal with traffic, how you make those overtakes. Have to be decisive, can't dilly-dally, but then again, with 2.5 hours still to go, was that the right move to make? Yeah. Let's go to Joe at Mayer Shank. He's just getting a report on whether there is any problems with the car. Stoffel Vandoorne has not come in, Joe. He must be reasonably happy with it.
His report was very concise, and I think it's been abbreviated for me. He's not happy. I think he used a few more expletives than that.
Not happy with the move or not happy with the car?
Not happy with the move from late. He's not reporting anything at the moment.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Yes, we can imagine that the language was perhaps a little more Anglo-Saxon in its descriptive terms. He dives down the inside of the Cetelar Ferrari. Every still with that red dot. Sorry, go ahead.
Every now and again, Pipo Durrani tries these moves. I mean, he was completely alongside. The door was wide open. Fair enough, I suppose. But like I say, I don't really see the point in trying to make that move. I mean, Vandoorne's, he's not... I don't see the point. I really don't. It wouldn't surprise me if there's no call. I mean, they were absolutely side by side at that stage, but I think if anybody's going to penalise them, it's going to be the team, because I think that was an unnecessary risky manoeuvre by the driver of number 31 car at that stage in the race.
Shea Adam has news from Race Control. Shea?
Incident responsibility, contact with the 60, car 31, warning.
Right, okay.
And that'll be why, because he was side-by-side, the door was open. I think that's probably the right call. I say, I think it's the team that's going to be more upset than Race Control. But a warning is absolutely right. It was a low percentage pass, really. I mean, if it was the last lap, go for it. But with 2.5 hours remaining and risking causing damage, Stoffel Vandoorne's not going to let him go past without a fight, is he? So I'm not quite sure what the thinking was.
Tell you what, it's going to make it interesting if they get together. There are at the moment 3.8 seconds between them. couple of tenths taken back by people that time. Let's go down to Joe Bradley with Ben Barnicot in the pit lane.
Well, Ben's just stepped out of the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus, and Ben out of third place in the GTD Pro class, but that stint was harder than it should have been. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, bit off strategy now. I was supposed to do a duel there, but unfortunately the cool suit failed. It was my shirt, luckily, so Jack's going to be okay now. We hope so. It's never nice. Those cool suits are amazing when they work, but when they're not, you're basically trapped inside a radiator for an hour, which isn't nice.
So basically, when the cool suit stops circulating refrigerated water, it starts circulating hot water.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it goes from, I guess you'd call it a cool suit to a heater suit. It wasn't nice, but, you know, we're having a good run here. Like you said, we're in third place. We're still on the lead lap. Would be nice if we could get a yellow now to bunch it all back up. You know, Jack's the man in this car. He knows it inside and out, and I'm sure he'll give us a great shot at the end. We've kind of got it to this point. The team have done a great job, and Alexis RCF's been looking good for the last few hours.
You were in the car earlier on when the wrap came off the bonnet. Well, that must have been a bit disconcerting.
Yeah, that was the first time. I mean, I was obviously it was flapping around, and at first I was struggling to see, and then you kind of get used to these things, and then it suddenly sprung into my mind like, oh, this isn't going to be good if it sticks to the windshield. But luckily that didn't happen, and we got it off. It'll look nice and shiny next time out.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Barnicot from the Lexus RCF. Vassar Sullivan machine. As I say, the number 14 is the Pro car. They've slipped down a little bit to fourth position. Jack Hawksworth in that car at the moment.
I was going to say two Yorkshiremen, but it's not, is it? Ben Barnes is from Chesterfield, from Derbyshire.
And yeah, don't get that wrong, Jeremy.
No, exactly right. I was at college in Sheffield, on the south side of Sheffield, so I know all about that one. And Aaron Tielitz, of course, is the third driver who's done a nice job in this race, and that car, you know, still right there. It's in the fourth position in class at the moment, about 4 seconds ahead of Mauro Engel. Matthew Jaminet is about another couple of seconds behind in the Fav Porsche. So the top six cars in GTD Pro covered by about 24 seconds at the moment.
Next of the leaders due in shortly, possibly even this next lap, Mike Rockenfeller in the Ally Cadillac. He'll complete 21 laps of a stint as he comes round this time at IMSA Radio. Don't forget the hashtag Michelin PRT if you have a point to make or a question or some kind of matters arising after this race. We'll grab some of the drivers for interview as well as Joe Shea, Jeremy and I go through the machinations of the race. We've got plenty to talk about. Darkness beginning to fall now. Under 2.5 hours to go. Sebring International Raceway. WWOJ 99.1 FM. Ireland's best country. News Talk 7:30 AM and 95.3 now on FM. Sirius XM 206 and around the world on IMSA Radio RS2 at radioimsaradio.com. That's imsaradio.com. And if you're outside the US and there's no network TV, try the World Feed TV, streaming live, free and uninterrupted to the end of the race. And that's on imsaradio.com via the live video tab with our commentary from Trackside, the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre on the outside of turn 17. In comes the Ally Cadillac, Joe Bradley's end of things. And looks like full service. Mike Rockenfeller brought that car in. No driver change. Joe Bradley's there.
Yeah, no driver changes. Coming to the end of the stop now. Tyres and fuel only for the 48. Tyres back up. The car went before the fueler removed the refueling hose. That could have gotten very, very naughty there. I'm not sure what was happening there, but the refueler's not a happy man.
he was waved away by the guy at the front, had the throttle on pretty much three quarter to full throttle. They don't have launch controls here, but that's sort of what it was like. Just a quick note for those of you who are motorsport enthusiasts around the world. Mobil won the grid. Seen some of the guys filming here for Series 14, which has just got underway. So check your local schedules for details if you're in a territory that gets that magazine show. There'll be some features from here at the Mobil 112 Hours of Sebring. Jeremy?
Pieper Durrani is caught up back up now to Soffel van Doorn, so that might be worth keeping an eye on at the moment. Number 60
popcorn,
and
please.
Number 31.
Popcorn and a comfy seat. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. That is going to be the battle for fourth and fifth again. Actually, they'll move up a little bit because Mike Rockenfeller's just stopped. Alex Lynn leads in the 0-2 Cadillac. Just heading down towards the hotel. Ally Cadillac is... and Mike Rockenfeller. They just dropped the position. He's just coming through to turn 16 and on the back straight. Sean Creech Motorsport in front, the number 33. That's Joao Barbosa with a 51-second lead to Dakota Dickerson. LMP3, bit of last man standing there, really. Those two still in a battle, but with a lap and change. Oh, check that. Hang on. 14. No, several laps. Seven laps on the Performance Tech Motorsport leash here. Cameron Shields behind the wheel of the third-placed LMP3 car. And if you are just joining us, the 74 car that was right up the front, that was the pole sitting Riley, that car officially retired. Moving into darkness now, still the last vestiges of light in the sky, but not much of it. And this is where, as we said in the Porsche Keys to the Race, get to the dark, make sure your car's in one piece, and that's where you're going to have to do, Jeremy, your best work. And the palm trees are lit. It is officially dark here at Sebring International Raceway for the Palm Tree Palisades on the driver's right going into the carousel. That's what I love about this place. There's all kinds of traditions. Some of them are very serious, some of them less so, but there's a heck of a lot of history here, and the fans are just a bigger part of it as anything else that we've seen down through the years.
And Robbie Foley still leads then in the GTD category, but right behind him is that number 47 car. Two different drivers then driving these two cars at the moment, to the ones that made contact at turn three about probably an hour ago now. But it's now Robbie Foley having taken over from Bill Oberlin in the number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW in that now multicoloured number 47 Ferrari. It's Giorgio Sergiotto that has taken over from Antonio Fuoco. But those two, again, are nose to tail in the battle for the lead in GTD. Maxi Goetz, well, he's about 5 seconds back in the third position in car number 28. And then behind Maxi is Tony Wielander. There's another contender always in the number 21 Ferrari. Behind that is Richard Highsand, hanging on well in the fifth position in the class in car number 12 for Vassar Sullivan. And then Daniel Junker-Dehler in the number 32 Gilbert Korthoff Mercedes. So again, it's pretty tight in GTD. The top five cars covered by just around about 20 seconds. Nearly 5 seconds the gap between first and second. Another 28 seconds back to Pieper Durrani, who this time has made the pass on Soffel van Doorn.
Ah, and a clean one at that, presumably.
Presumably.
So that's up to third now for Pieper.
Yep.
And he's 27 and a half seconds behind Loic Duval, who's 35 seconds away from the leader. In terms of their laps since last pit stop, round about eight laps. No, maybe that 10 laps for Alex Lynn before his next pit stop. 12 laps for Loic Duval. Probably 8 or 9 laps for Pieper Durrani. And 11 or 12 for Stoffel van Doorn. So they're all within a lap or two of each other with 2 hours and 17 minutes to go. That's your VP Racing Fuels in-race update. At the front of the field, those four cars are the ones that are making power. Hello, Sven. Tweeting at IMSA Radio. Watching and listening. Man in Bruges, in Belgium. Good to have you on board with the World TV feed. And IMSA Radio linked to it, of course, thanks to our colleagues and Jason and the rest of the team up at Charlotte, North Carolina, home of NASCAR Productions. Been a long week for everybody. Lots of work to go on. Also, big mention to the IMSA technical team as well. David Pease on the IT side of things. Our new technical squad. Ashton, Tom, Craig, and the rest of the guys. It's all been a bit of a voyage of discovery this weekend, and they've performed absolutely brilliantly. Everybody. And their work, of course, is not finished at the end of the race, because as when we go off the air and put down our headsets, they've got to pack everything up and get ready for the next one. So they were first in this week and this morning, and they'll be last away tonight and tomorrow. Still work to do for them. Big mention to BSI as well, providing our pit lane communications, so that Joe and Shea have been able to give us these great interviews and insights from both of the pit lanes. Remember, two separate pit lanes here, one on the back straight and one on the front. Just an added little technical difficulty. Easy to forget the people behind the scenes who are making it all work, and thanks to Mark Hull and all of his crew here. David Pettit from IMSA as well. And particularly to John Story and everybody here at Sebring International Raceway. Absolutely made us welcome again from the prologue last weekend right through to today. And this has been a huge, huge crowd this weekend. And the infrastructure has worked very well indeed. If you haven't been here before, get it on your bucket list. This is one of the great events, never mind races, great events of motorsport. Haven't had the numbers for the crowd. The attendance figures aren't always given out. Certainly weren't in the ALMS days, but it's been big. I'm pretty certain it is up on last year, which in fairness didn't have the FIA WEC. We were still coming out of lockdown. But I've not seen a crowd like this at Sebring for probably 10 years, since the 60th anniversary. This is a big one here. It might even be bigger than that. So, Jeremy, 2.25 hours to go. Back timing this now. All the teams are looking at this, and what they don't want is to have 3.125 pit stops before the end of the race. So is this where do you dare now get your drivers to start making those adjustments and trying to eke out an extra lap or two so you've got an even number of pit stops, or do you just push them on and think, well, we'll deal with that when we have to deal with it?
Well, the cars do about, the DPI cars do about 40 minutes between their pit stops, so they're all going to have to make I think three more stops before the end of this race. The question is, can Mike Rockenfeld, number 48 team, get to the end with just two more? Have it three, one, 100, we've got 133 minutes to go. So, no, I think we're all going to have to make three stops. Number 48 car certainly needs a little bit less fuel. Got 10 laps, 8 laps in hand in terms of the amount of fuel that it needs to get to the end of the race from here. But certainly with just over 2 hours remaining, I would expect three more stops for each of the cars.
Tom Blomqvist, this has been a bit of a brutal race, both in the cockpit and out of it. How hard is it to watch all this battling going on into the sunset and knowing that you've got to wait a little bit longer until you get back in the car?
Yeah, it's. I mean, the race has been pretty brutal. It's been extremely hot, been really hot in the car. You know, we haven't had the quickest race car out there, but we've had some, you know, flashes where we've kind of had good pace there. And yeah, but these racing, this is so intense. It's all to play for. We need a bit of luck. We need some yellows to close the pack, and hopefully then we can be smart and, you know, make some headway in the pit lane. But, yeah, it's going to be difficult without that. We don't have quite have the pace as some of the other cars, but, you know, anything can happen in IMSA. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, for the MSR team, this is a bit of a weird experience right now because the S in the team, Mr. Shank, he's not here. How weird is it for his presence to be missing?
Yeah, obviously he's on IndyCar duty now. But, you know, the team's in a great position to deal with the situation without him. So, obviously we miss him here. He's a great addition to the outfit, and obviously it's, you know, it's his team. But, yeah, you know, we're working hard at it. And, yeah, 2 hours to go, and, yeah, we need a bit of luck, but fingers crossed.
Are you looking forward to Long Beach next, where it's just you and Ollie for a, you know, quick 100-minute race after these enduros?
Well, I'm looking forward to Long Beach, but if I look at the historical results, I don't know if I'm that looking forward to it, if you know what I mean. So, hey, hopefully, you know, something changes and we can fight for some, you know, for a result there. But, yeah, I mean, it's a cool event. So, and obviously, you know, the IndyCar team's there as well. So it'd be cool to have the whole MSR, you know, outfit in one place. But, hey, it's also the Acura Grand Prix, so we have to put on a big show for them.
Hopefully you're bringing them a Sebring trophy there as well, too, to put on display. Good luck.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Tom Blomqvist with Shea Adam. Hey. Just thinking about that, Jeremy's just crunching a few numbers again. I think it's going to be tight for even for Rocky to do it with just two more, Jeremy, isn't it? I can't see that happening.
No, I don't think so either.
It's a question of whether it's three stops or three stops and a bit for some of the other cars, I think. They should just be about to do it. And if there is a bit, when do you take the bit? Do you do a short stop on your penultimate run and then come in as soon as you can get to the end? I think that's what you do if you're not leading. Get that last pit stop done first.
Yeah, so yeah, 10 minutes from now, if you make 266.
120 minutes to go in 10 minutes time. So
yeah, so that's around about when the leaders are going to be coming in to the pits. And with 2 hours remaining, they'll come in another 40 minutes later, then 80 minutes later, so it'll be two more stops after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, three more stops at the end. But like I say, the 48 car does have about 8 laps of fuel in hand compared to the rest, but that is the car that's onto pit lane right now. And I don't, you know, they're going to need a splash if it stays green to get to the end.
Shea Adam is standing by and waits for the Ally Cadillac to come to a halt for Mike Rockefeller.
Fuel, tires, and something Mike Rockefeller really needs, another drinks bottle. This guy has done so much driving this weekend, and you know what? He's still smiling.
They turned the engine off.
John, this isn't good. They've got brake discs up on the wall. Yeah. Only 8 laps from the last time that they were in. That is way too soon. All right, I'm walking around the front of the car now. He reported a vibration earlier on. They've got full equipment. Oh, no, they've got lump hammers. This is not good for the Ally Cadillac. Two new brake discs and calipers up on the wall. They haven't even gone to work at that, though. They're taking off the right rear tire now, too. This is the car that is coming out of contention as this happens. They were throwing up dust earlier on. Now there's a headlamp on, actually, for the mechanic in the right front area.
They've done their brakes. Shea, they've done their brakes. We said earlier on that this car had been throwing out dust. Kami Kobayashi's stint in particular, we saw it, but it has been going from the front. They've overused their brakes. Now, what does this mean for the other Cadillac, Shea? That's the thing.
But, John, the brake disc is actually separated on the left front. It's supposed to be one solid piece, and instead the piece in front is sticking about 3 inches out from where it should have been.
They would have seen that when they took the wheel off. Oh, my goodness, how much brake dust coming off that left front wheel when the air hammer first went on and the hand across the face. The brake disc has gone. The rotor has gone completely. The friction part has come off from the middle part of the hub. This is not going to be an easy fixture.
Oh, no, this isn't. But this is also Team Never Quits. That is the Action Express organization. They've actually worn off the red Brembo that normally signs on the front. It just goes to show you how hot this thing is running. There is nothing left of the pads or the brake rotor. Wow, I've never seen a brake disc actually separate like that, John. Oh, and it's just fallen apart. Even better.
Literally, the brake disc has come off its mounting, off the bell, as you would call it. The brake discs on the left front were barely, I think they were probably all right for now, but I can't see them have done an extra 2 hours. We'll keep an eye on that as Joe Bradley is at Turner Motorsport for the Liqui Moly number 96 car, leading with Robbie Fawley, and Bill Oberlin is the second driver in that car, starting his 500th race for BMW, and he has led the class, Joe.
Absolutely. Bill, congratulations on the 500th race. You've started it. There's still a bit to go, and you guys are in contention.
We're in contention. There's some really fast cars behind us, and they seem to have slightly better pace than us, but we keep strategizing our way to the front, and we got there a few times now. Robbie's doing an amazing job. I just assume leave him in the car, let him go to the end, but I think we're going to swap out a few more times before the end. And can you imagine 500 races for BMW to take the start here in Sebring, which is so special to me? I mean, my dad won it here in 85. I won it 10 years after him in 95, 97, 98. It sure would be incredible to have this fairy tale story. Try to bring home the victory tonight would be amazing.
John Eindhoff just reminded us that. Can you remember when you flipped the BMW at Road Atlanta? When you got back, I was the first person that spoke to you.
Yeah, I remember that. Anytime you can walk away from a good one like that. So I check my body parts, and I go, oh, I'm still, everything's attached. Nothing fell off, nothing's broken. And then you think, did they get that on TV? I hope they got it on TV. Yeah, I mean, it was a really nice car. We were right in the front of that race, so to sort of end it with a big backflip in Road Atlanta, that was scary, but you walk away and you do it again.
It was incredible how lucid you were and how much of the detail you remembered. It was incredible. Yeah, I just reminded that. I'm not even going to say how long ago that was, Bill.
Yeah, that was a little while ago. You know, those are easy. It's the hard sudden stops that get you. The ones when you're like, that knock you out and you wake up and you wonder, where am I? I've had a few of those. That one was easy. You just did a full 360 and you hope, man, don't put my head in the dirt. Don't land on the roof, which the LMR didn't have one, right? It had a little tiny roll bar. What the heck? You walk away from it, and I just drove that car 3 weeks ago at a vintage event in Florida. It is as amazing 3 weeks ago as it was in 1999. It is so fast. It's amazing.
Brilliant. Bill, are you getting back into the car before the finish?
Yep. I think we haven't had a water bottle in a long time. The drink bag system failed a long time ago. So we're kind of just going back and forth. We can do driver changes fairly fast. So why wear the guy out for 2 hours at a time? So Robbie and I are just going back and forth. And then we'll Rochambeau for who finishes the race.
Great stuff, Bill. I'm not going to say anything more. I don't want to hex the race. Bill Oberlin, always great to talk to, isn't he?
The right front brake rotor on this 48 Ally Cadillac was fine. It was worn down a bit, but it would have made it to the end of the race. They still are changing it out of an abundance of precaution, and you can fully respect the fact that they're doing that. Work continues on the left front, but now this car is hindering the egress of the sister car, the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac, which is going to be pitting here in a couple of seconds' time.
Yeah, they'll put a match pair of discs and set the pads, or rotors and set the pads on. Yeah, it's you don't really want to just change one, even on your street car. There's the balance issue there as well. So, you're listening to IMSA Radio live from Sebring International Raceway. Coming down to the last 120 minutes. Here's a quick rundown of your top positions in our VP Racing Fuels in race updates. Alex Lynn due into the pit lane from the lead in the 0-2 Cadillac. We'll see him in the next lap or two. Loic Duval, 32 and a half seconds behind in second place. He's not far off a pit stop either. See above comment for Pipo Durrani for Whelen Engineering and the Cadillac number 31. Stoffel Vandoorne, perhaps a couple of laps better off on fuel than the three cars that I've just mentioned. That's the number 60 car. Pipo Turani into the pit lane as I speak. In LMP2, it's PR1 Matheson Motorsport by just over a minute and 20 seconds. LMP2, Joao Barbosa, Sean Creech Motorsport by 51 seconds. That's the number 33 Stars and Stripes car. Antonio Garcia for Corvette Facing at 5 seconds from Philip Eng in second place for BMW, and another five back to TR3's Lamborghini, the 63. Then it's the GTD battle that we need to keep an eye on. 1.8 seconds, Robbie Foley to Giorgio Serna Giotto. That's the 96 white, red and blue BMW, and the 47 Cetelar blue and all colours of the rainbow car now. That's the Ferrari. Third, and another 4 seconds further back, the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. That's your VP Racing Fuels in race update as we head towards the last 2 hours of the race, which start live on RS2 IMSA Radio right now.